Chapter 14. It happened when nothing was happening. What I mean is there wasn't anything special going on aboard the ship. Valkyrie was drifting in dark interstellar space just over 2 light-years from the closest star, waiting for the jump drive capacitors to recharge. It was around 4 o'clock in the morning, as civilians measure time. I had set my alarm for 0300 to get time in a flight simulator without taking time away from any of our real pilots. The simulation had me fly in a normal approach to drop down through the atmosphere of an inhabited world, meaning the air was a nice mix of oxygen and nitrogen, and other than when in clouds, visibility was clear. Some simulations involved flying through the toxic soup of a sulfurous or methane atmosphere, where even the artificially clear synthetic view provided by the view screens was tinted a sickly yellow. The sim program I was using even included other aircraft or spacecraft in the area, so I had to communicate and coordinate with local air traffic control and follow a laser guide beacon to the surface. It was not an exciting scenario. The purpose of that training was to develop the ability to fly with precision and to remain alert when the task you're performing was dull and routine. I kept waiting for the sim to add a lightning strike or engine failure, or for an enemy ship to jump in above my head. That's why when the sim froze and the power went out, I was kind of expecting it. Except the way it happened didn't make any sense. I said to whoever was paying attention. Having the flight simulator lose power is not a useful simulation of flight, you know. There was no answer. At that time, the control booth in the simulator bay was not staffed, so usually the simulators were set up by one of Skippy's submines or by Bilby. Hello, I called out. And there was a hissing sound, and the seal on the simulator door automatically unlatched. Hello? Anyone? Just as an alarm began sounding through the ship. Oh, shit. Bilby? Talk to me, Bilby.
Oh, hey, I'm real busy here, General Dude. This is not cool.
What is going on?
Skippy suddenly, went offline.
Oh, shit. Popping the straps off my shoulders, I tugged on the door latch and swung the door open. Normally, there's a lengthy procedure for ending a simulated flight, just like securing the systems of a real aircraft. With the simulator essentially dead, the only thing to do was get out. Fortunately, the door handle was a manual mechanism. The other simulator in use had lost power also, and the entire bay was bathed in dim emergency lighting. Chen popped her head out of the door of the simulator she had been using.
What's going on, sir?
You know as much as I do. Report to your damage control station.
Aye, sir.
She swung her legs out the door onto the deck and ran across the bay. Bilby. I smoothed out the worst wrinkles of my flight suit as I strode quickly across the bay and out into the passageway. Walking was better than running for me. I had to show any crew members I met that I wasn't panicked, even if I kinda was. The bridge was up 2 decks, and with the main power out, that meant either going forward to use one of the ramps or climbing a ladder. The ladder was in a tube that connected decks. Ladder rungs went all the way around, so multiple people could use the tube at the same time. The only complication was that part of the original ship had not been modified, so the spacing of the rungs was set up for Maxolt's physiology, and they are taller than most humans. Above me, Chen was climbing, and I could see it was a stretch for her to reach the next rung. She got it done and ducked through an open hatch to the deck. I started climbing. Bilby, what can you tell me?
Not much. Well, this is bogus.
Skippy and I were talking about the results of returning the power boosters in Reactor 3, and he just was, gone. I froze.
What do you mean, gone?
Oh, sorry, dude. He's still here.
His canister is still here, or he is still here?
Both. I can still detect his presence. He's, locked up or something.
Huh.
He told me he was also translating his opera into Kristang. I wonder if he got distracted, and if this is about opera, I'm going to strangle him.
Can you restore power?
Working on it. The reactors didn't shut down, they just went into safety mode. I have full control now. That handover was rough, you know?
I can imagine. Can we jump?
Sure, dude. If you want to.
Why would we do that?
In case Skippy's problem has an external cause, like an enemy ship, or a sentinel.
Whoa, dude. I'll alert the bridge. One medium-length emergency jump coming up.
Staying where I was between decks, I hung tightly onto the ladder in case the jump went wonky. It was fine, maybe even a little smoother than usual. When the all-clear chime sounded, I resumed climbing and had just stepped out onto the deck when Skippy spoke into my earpiece.
I have such a hangover.
Skippy,
oh, it's good to... Dude, do you have to talk so loud?
Sorry, I whispered, while on my Z-phone I typed, Skippy is fine, do not contact him, and sent a broadcast text to the entire crew. In fact, I did not know if he was fine. I did know that a bunch of monkeys shouting for his attention wouldn't be helpful.
How are you, buddy?
I've been better.
Is there anything I can do? I asked, fully expecting him to tell me no.
Actually, yes. Go to Cargo Bay Delta 14 and find the comm node there that is currently active.
Shit! I felt a tingle of fear. One of them is active? After using Elder comm nodes to block Opie's attempt to activate more sentinels, we had a few left over. They were the nodes in the poorest condition, not stable enough to be trusted for blocking communications channels in a wormhole. Skippy had wanted to keep them for experiments, or for nostalgia, or for some other damned reason. Since the things didn't take up much space, drew almost no power, and did not represent any conceivable risk, I approved of stashing them somewhere out of the way. Sims probably handled the logistics details of storage. Like I said, it was inconceivable that the stupid things could be any danger, so maybe that word doesn't mean what I think it means.
Yes, he grunted like he was in pain. Get rid of it. Please hurry.
Get rid of it? How?
Toss it out an airlock, duh. Jeez Louise, this is not a good time for you to be your usual dimwit self.
Sorry. Why can't you get a bot to handle...
I am barely holding it together here.
His voice was fading away.
And I do not see you moving.
I am a dum-dum, but I am not completely stupid. I moved, ducking back into the access tube and skipping half the ladder rungs to go down one deck. Cargo Bay Delta 14 was two decks below, but there were several large structural frames in the way on that level, plus a missile launcher feed mechanism that protruded into the ship, causing the passageways aft of my position to divert toward the center of the ship. It would be faster for me to stay a deck above, as that gave me more of a straight shot toward the cargo bays, and I could take a ramp instead of a ladder. How did I know that without having to check a schematic on my phone? Like I said, I am not stupid. Also, Valkyrie is my ship, my responsibility. Over the years, I memorized every square meter of the ship and had a schematic in my mind. Sprinting flat out along the passageway, I bellowed, "Gangway!" to startle people in my way. They might not all have recognized that Navy expression, but they surely understood what I meant. Every one of them flattened against the side to give me room, and I raced past. My time in the gym and on the boring treadmill was worth the effort. I was flying along the deck, my strides eating up the distance, and I saw the ramp on a dogleg to my right. Too late, just as I made the slight turn, I realized my incredible athletic ability was assisted by the ship's artificial gravity powering down.
Ah!
Clumsily, I bashed my forehead on the ceiling of the ramp, crashing softly down to slide on my backside. The lesser gravity was becoming very noticeable as I bounced along the ramp, rolling and flailing my arms. Crap. I couldn't run anymore. Not normally. Not really running. Gravity was down to maybe 10%, I guessed. At that level, shoes couldn't maintain any traction, so I did as we practiced during low-gravity drills. That, girls and boys, is why we have emergency drills, so your already stressed brain doesn't need to think about what to do during an actual emergency. It's already in your muscle memory. Using the awkward springing motion that is the fastest way to move in light gravity, I bounded forward with long strides, using my hands to push off the ceiling. If the situation was a drill, it would have been kind of fun. It was not fun at all, especially when I got close enough to see the big D-14 painted on the cargo bay interior door, the gravity cut out entirely. My dumbass was soaring through the air with no contact with either deck or overhead, arms windmilling to pull me to one side or the other. After a heart-stopping moment, I made contact with the railing that ran along the wall about a half meter from the ceiling. That was good. The railing was there for exactly that purpose. Pulling myself hand over hand, I called out, "Bilby! Open the inner door of Cargo Bay Delta 14. There was no response. "Bilby. "Hello. "Anyone. "Skippy. No response. Looking at my phone, the Wi-Fi icon was blank. No connection. Pushing off the railing, I grabbed onto the handhold next to the door panel. That panel was active, but on emergency power, with limited functionality. Including no comms, I couldn't use the hardwired system to contact anyone. Shit. At least the door mechanism responded, opening when I pressed the button. The door seemed to be sticky and slid open slower than it should have, so either the emergency power made the motors run at half speed, or I needed to get an engineering team down there with a can of WD-40. In the bay, the dim lighting was not helpful. I used my phone as a flashlight. Where the hell were the comm notes? How was I supposed to find anything without a freaking index? Delta 14 was not the largest cargo hold in the ship. Still, it was the size of a 3-car garage. Almost nothing in the hold was labeled. How could I... The thing I was looking for was an Elder comm node. A communications node. A thing that communicated, and not through sound waves. Skippy had told us that Elder comm nodes work by transmitting messages through higher spacetime, not using crude photons to create radio waves. But he also warned that sometimes there could be what he called leakage of radiation in the form of radio or X-rays. That is why they had to be shielded to protect the squishy bodies of meat sacks. I also knew all the comm nodes we still had aboard were damaged or degraded. They were determined to be unable to handle the power throughput for blocking OP signals in a wormhole, so those nodes were still with us. Except for one that was left over as a spare. Huh. Pulling out my Z-phone, I opened an app labeled RDF for Radio Direction Finder. It used the phone's antenna to scan the non-visual spectrum of light, from long wavelength radio to infrared and all the way up to gamma radiation. The phone was not the best detection device aboard the ship, but it was the one I had right then, and unlike most of the equipment I could see, the phone was still functional. There. The antenna was picking up a lot of stray photons, but only one source was up toward the gamma end of the spectrum. It was weak, fading in and out. So I had to float around the bay holding onto crates with one hand and carrying my phone with the other. Found it. There was a plastic crate, really more of a simple bin, that the radiation was coming from. The bin was clear plastic but scuffed from usage, so I couldn't see inside other than the vague outlines of dark boxes stacked on each other. Radiation. Probably I should go find an environment suit and put it on before opening the bin. Unfortunately, I guess that by the condition of the ship and Skippy's silence, I didn't have time to put safety first. Shit. Undoing the latches, I got the bin open, seeing heavy lead-lined boxes, the kind of standard container we use to hold Elder artifacts. There wasn't any need to open every box to find the active comm node. One of them was slightly warm. That wasn't good. If the gamma radiation was making the heavy lead-lined box warm to the touch, I sure as hell did not want to open the thing. Tucking the phone in a pocket, I pulled the box from the bin, then relatched the bin so the contents didn't drift out in the zero gravity. That cargo hold didn't have an external door or even an airlock, so I had to push off and fly through the inner door back into the passageway. For a split second, I experienced a wave of panic and shame, not able to remember the direction to the nearest airlock. That lasted less than a very bad second before I got my bearings and turned to go aft. Pulling myself awkwardly along with one hand, I held the box at arm's length to reduce my exposure to deadly radiation. Duh. That was stupid. A half meter of distance between me and the box was not going to make a difference in the amount of radiation I was exposed to. Halting for a second while hooking a foot under the railing, I unbuttoned my uniform top, tucked the box in as well as I could, and got a few buttons fastened. That allowed me to use both hands on the railing, and I was a free-flying monkey racing along the passageway until I turned down the alcove to the external airlock. The panel there was active on reserve power. The door slid open on command, so I tossed the box in gently, making sure it didn't rebound back out through the inner doorway. Pressing a button cycled the inner door shut and locked, and I tapped through a menu of commands to overpressure the chamber. The outer door did the usual annoying thing of asking three times if I was sure I wanted it to slide open while the chamber was full of air. Yes, yes, and yes, damn it! The railing I held onto shuddered slightly as the ship was pushed ever so gently in the opposite direction as the air rushed out of the lock. Pressing an eye to the thick window of the inner door, I couldn't see the box floating away in the darkness outside, but it was no longer in the chamber, and that's all I cared about. Shit.
without senses, without even my eyeballs being useful to see the damned box, I couldn't tell how fast it was moving away from us. Until I knew that box was at a safe distance, I couldn't do what was needed next, getting the ship out of the range of that comm node. What is the range of an Elder Communications node? I have no idea, but a medium-length jump was a good bet to get Skippy away from the damaging influence of whatever the comm node was doing to him. Another thing I had to guess at. Several attempts to contact Skippy, Bilby, or the bridge resulted in silence. The entire comm system of the ship was down. Time for direct action. Out in the passageway, I pressed the back of my phone against a status panel and tapped an icon to use the phone as a backup control system. To control the whole freaking ship. Learning that backup system took me 2 months after we seized our badass battlecruiser, and thankfully I had been forcing myself to take a refresher course at least once a week. Yeah. Hey, I don't spend all my time playing video games. Tapping through a menu of control icons, I sent a message through the ship's hardwired communication system, establishing a secure handshake with a bank of thrusters on the nearest side of the ship. Engaging the thrusters manually, I began with a gentle effect, then ramped up to full military thrust. The railing I held onto trembled, and I was pushed against the wall as the ship moved underneath me. I'm sure the crew was wondering what the hell was going on, and somewhere several people were probably trying to manually shut down those thrusters, as they should. And that was fine. By the time they cut power to the thrusters, the ship would be safely far away from the box I ejected from the airlock. The next step was a lot more complicated. Jumping the ship. The jump drive navigation system had its own power source, so it should still be active. When the computer acknowledged my phone's handshake, that confirmed it was still online. When it accepted my authorization, I knew it was still functional. No, I was not using my phone to program a jump. Though my Z phone had processing power equivalent to about half the computers on Earth, no way could it crunch the algorithms to create and control a rift in spacetime. It didn't have to. There were always four jump options in the navigation system at all times, constantly updated as the ship moved and we passed through gravity wells. You know, that sort of thing. All I had to do was instruct the navigation system to activate jump option Bravo, a medium-length jump that should still be valid, despite sensors having been offline for several minutes. The nav system responded with its equivalent of, "Please provide precise details of our current location," to which I replied with, "Make your best guess." Unsurprisingly, the system did not like that. It replied with, basically, "Have you lost your tiny little mind?" Technically, I could not state with confidence that I was in my right mind, as I felt the thrusters cut out. The uncoordinated firing of one thruster bank had given the ship a slow spin, yawing around its center of balance with a sickening wobble that I couldn't do anything about, and didn't care about at the moment. A third time, I instructed the jump nav system to execute my instructions. It acknowledged with a distinctive reluctance. Holy shit. While I had trained for and practiced commanding a jump with my phone, the ship had never actually jumped using the backup system. Why? Because it was too dangerous to attempt, except in an actual emergency. Without the ship's master computer controlled by either Bilby or Skippy, the navigation system was operating half-blind. The jump itself was not violent in terms of the ship's movement through normal space. The handhold I had a firm grip on shook once, and I would have lost contact if I hadn't been ready for the sudden jolt. It was not, hopefully, enough movement to injure anyone aboard Valkyrie. The physical movement laterally or up and down wasn't much, but my inner ear did not agree. It felt like I had fallen off a cliff while flipping head over heels and spinning sideways. Most jumps involve a certain amount of nausea, usually just a mild wave of, did that happen? Then your body decides everything is cool and the queasy sensation goes away. Newbies who aren't prepared sometimes rough up their breakfasts, though I think some of that is just an effect of expecting to be nauseous rather than the actual sensation. The funky guesswork jump I commanded did not generate just a brief and mild wave of nausea. It felt like I had tapped the bottom of a flat, stale keg of beer, then the guy lying passed out on the floor next to me ralphed, and my stomach decided it had enough of that shit. Not that I know what that is like, but I've heard it can be unpleasant. Clamping my jaws shut and breathing deeply through my nose until the disorienting sensation went away saved me from embarrassment. That was encouraging. So was the little cursor blinking in the top right corner of the status panel. Something had changed. My phone quickly showed me not enough had changed. It was unable to contact anyone. "Bilby," I called out.
All that came back was silence. There was a protocol where I could send a simple text message to every status panel aboard the ship, so I held the phone against the panel again and began typing. A simple message.
Ugh!
Skippy groaned in my ear.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
I kept my voice to a soft whisper.
Dude, why are you shouting at me?
Sorry. Did I get rid of the right calm note?
You did, but damn, what took you so freaking long? Jeez Louise, that took forever!
Reminding myself that arguing with Skippy was generally pointless, and from his point of view, I had taken forever to accomplish the task, I just repeated,
Sorry. Is there anything else I can do?
No. Literally, there is nothing you or any other monkey can do to help me right now. Even the spiders wouldn't be able to help if they were here, so don't feel bad about it.
How are you feeling?
Ugh, don't ask.
I won't. Can you tell me the ship's condition?
It's fine. Getting better. I restored Bilby's authority. He is in the process of getting everything sorted out. He will inform the crew when he's ready. Until then, do not distract him. The last thing he needs right now is to deal with a lot of useless blah, blah, blah from monkeys.
Gotcha. Should we jump again?
Not like we just did, that's for sure. What the hell was that?
Why, it was the best I could do.
Well, if there is a next time, do better. Again, arguing with him was a waste of time.
Sorry.
Seriously, dude? Do you know how freaking expensive a jump drive is?
I'm terribly sorry. Answer the question, please. Jump again, yes or no?
Yes, but no rush. Let's take time to do it right this time. My poor cleaning bots will be working for days to clean up the messes you monkeys made.
I'll be sure to send them a nice fruit basket to say thank you. What happened?
Jeez, give me a minute, will you? My head is still spinning.
Then I'm going to the bridge. Call if you need me for anything.
Like that's ever gonna happen.
The good news was that Skippy was feeling well enough to insult me. The bad news was he was still an asshole.